is Ken Paulson from Americana Music News. We've got a great show for you today, featuring an interview with Raul Malo of the Mavericks. He'll talk about their new label and how this established band became the hottest act in Americana. We'll also have new releases and the news, speaking of which, Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit have announced spring dates to begin April 14th in Savannah, Georgia, then Panama City, Florida, and Clearwater and Orlando, wraps up May 10th in Huntsville, Alabama. Check out the Isbell website for more information. The Amazing Earls of Leicester will show up at the Country Music Hall of Fame CMA Theater on February 24th and 25th to record a brand new album. As you know, that band, a tribute to Flat and Scruggs, was founded by Grammy winner Jerry Douglas and includes Sean Camp. We spent some time with Sean last week. He told us about the concerts. They should be phenomenal. And now comes word from the Old Crow Medicine Show. They've got a brand new album called Volunteer, due on April 20th. Can't wait for that. In terms of new releases, we're excited about the new one from Anderson East called Encore. Again, produced by Dave Cobb. And there's some remarkable songwriters on this, along with him. Ed Sheeran helps out, and Chris Stapleton. And it looks like a great set, and as a follow-up, obviously, to the big record, Delilah, of last year. And if you're of a certain vintage, and I am, you'll be excited about a couple of new releases, one from Sundazed and one from Omnivore, of classic rock bands, stuff that's been unearthed after literally decades. The Remains from 1969, that's a live album. The Remains, Barry and the Remains, opened for the Beatles on their tour. And Barry is Barry Tashin, who's become a staple of Nashville music and, terrific guy. Great talent. He gave up rock and roll as it is some time ago, but it was a great, great band. The Remains were ahead of their time, just half garage band with a lot of attitude and a lot of ambition. And Big Star, live at Lafayette's Music Room in Memphis, Tennessee. That's from recording in May of 1973. Anything we can get from Big Star, we will love, automatically by federal law. That's it for news and new releases. Now let's hear from Raul Malo.
This is Ken Paulson from Americana Music News, and we are delighted to be sitting here with Raul Malo, the man behind the Mavericks and the band that gets the entire joint jumping here on Sandy Beach's Cruise 2018. You know, there are a lot of talented artists on this boat, but the Mavericks own this cruise ship as they own any venue they play in. Raul, good to have you here.
Thank you, and great to be here. Thank you.
So tell me, what's the key to the Mavericks getting an audience moving?
Well, I think it's that, obviously there's many factors. Musically, of course, the music is has a built-in dance factor, you know, for sure, or at least a groove factor. People feel it, thankfully, and a lot of these folks that are on the boat too, they've come out to the shows throughout the years. We've been working really hard these past couple of years, and so they kind of know what to expect. They kind of know what's coming, and certainly that combination, combined with alcohol and the boat and the atmosphere and party atmosphere and then the fact that the weather cooperated and we were able to play outside, that just, you know, that's the icing on the cake right there. So I think that all those things combined, you know, probably lead to a pretty raucous evening.
You nail it every time. I was most eager to talk to you about the fact that the Mavericks, it's unbelievable, and anybody who listens to this podcast is a fan of Americana music. In the last few years, you have garnered all these Americana Music Association awards. The only one I think you haven't won is like Best Newcomer, and yet it feels like it.
Yeah.
And the Mavericks, once you guys reunited, and that was in 2012. From that moment on, the momentum for the Mavericks has just grown dramatically. Was there something you did differently when you reunited and said, we're going to give it another go as the Mavericks?
Yeah.
Was there a D-Day plan here?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, early on, you know, we got together. It feels like two careers, two completely. So I get the new band reference, right? Because it does feel like that. And, you know, I think what people may not know is that after the band stopped the first go around, you know, everybody went their separate ways. I dove deep into just a musical quest, you know, and I just kind of went all over the place. I did records with Los Super 7. I did the Transatlantic Sessions with all the Celtic guys. I just did everything that I could. I did a symphony record, you know. I did all these different things that I wanted to do, and everybody went off. Eddie went and played with Dwight Yoakam. He was doing session work. Jerry Dale opened art galleries, and Paul opened up his own business for a little bit, and he was playing as well, touring a little bit. But I think all those experiences and all that information and all that kind of knowledge, just when we got back together, we said that we were going to do things differently, and we were going to take care of the music first and foremost, because that is the business and that is our business. And so we all live to serve the groove, so to speak. And so you kind of have a hive mind mentality with the band, and that's really special. That's a special thing that doesn't happen often, and we nurture that, you know, and we take care of our guys, and we, you know, we're operating as a small business, and so you realize what it is, and you take care of your business so that it doesn't get away from you. And that's what we've done, and it's led us to this record label that we started, and we're partners with 30 Tigers on these projects, and it's been fantastic, you know. And so hopefully now you're just in control of your stuff more than ever before, and that's fantastic.
What's heartening is that as the Mavericks receded for a time, along comes a name for the kind of music you've been doing all along.
Right.
It's like Americana music came just as the Mavericks were stepping away from the scene.
Yeah.
And I think the first Americana Music Awards may have been 2002 in Nashville.
Yeah.
And then when you did come back, there was an audience that always understood the kind of thing you play.
Well, Americana really was created for bands like the Mavericks, you know, bands that didn't fit into any of the major categories in the business, you know, and that's fantastic for us, and that's fantastic for these artists that are on MOT and the artists that are on this cruise ship, because there's a home, you know, there's a place, and sure, it's a, maybe, you know, the criticism is that Americana is a bit of a catch-all, you know, and certainly growing pains are part of anything, you know, any organization or any I think the standard that has been set, you know, I mean, you look at the charts, you look at the records that are made, it's all Grammy-winning artists. It's all artists that are just beloved and really, you know, revered. I mean, it's like a who's who, and I'm proud to be in the Americana category. I'm proud to be there with a lot of my friends, you know, the people that I've known for years, people that work hard like the Mavericks, people that are out still making records and telling stories and doing what they need to do.
I've worked with the Americana Music Association since the beginning, and each year give an award to somebody who uses their music to make a statement. And it's just odd because in recent years it's been Graham Nash, it's been J.D. Souther, it's been Stephen Stills, it's been Mavis Staples, it's been my record collection, right?
Right.
Everything we grew up just idolizing now has a home again, which is exciting. It must have been enormously gratifying for Mono in particular to get the reception it got. It.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's gratifying for any record, really, but that was fantastic. And then to have Brand New Day as on our label now, right, to be nominated as well, it's really kind of unbelievable, but we'll take it.
So let's talk about the label. In the past I've asked you if this was an Apple move. Was this your intention to, are boutiques coming next?
Well, I think it depends on the artist, and I think it depends on the what the artist has to say and what they want to do, because like right now, as soon as we get off this boat, we're going in the studio, we're working on a Spanish album, we're working on a Latin record, and so the label is a perfect vehicle for us to basically put out the volume of work that we want to put out, and not have any sort of constraints or schedule constraints, because when you're on a major label or even just a small label, there's other artists that are on the schedule, and so you have to work around that, and sometimes that doesn't always coincide with what you need, with your touring needs and whatnot. So that's, again, back to the business side of it, that's why the more control we can take, the better we can serve everybody.
The Mavericks are the only artists on the label
so far. We're signing a band out of Cuba that we met when we went down there, and they're on the DVD. They're called the Sweet Lizzie Project, and they're of course a band out of Cuba, but they play rock and roll. They actually play a rock and roll Americana kind of music, and they sing in English. I mean, they're a rock band, right. But they're fantastic. And so we're gonna, and they've recorded all this music in Cuba it's really beautiful and touching and it needs to be heard, and so we're gonna do everything we can to make sure that people hear their music.
And that becomes a challenge, because you've got a self-sustaining band of your own,
right?
And then you've got to pick exactly the right artists, and so we're joking about Apple, but they got Badfinger.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of other people who didn't sell a single copy.
Yeah.
But I suppose if you're selective and focused, and it's,
it can work if you have the the business model now is wide open again. This is a brave new world, so it's time to do brave new things, throw the old concerns or constraints out the window, because the business it has changed dramatically, all of it. Yeah.
Well, and in a very positive way, the Mavericks really wrote the textbook. This is sustaining an audience over.
Well, we've survived years. It.
Yeah.
we've survived the business. Right. Not a lot of people had. I mean, when the Mavericks stopped the first time, I've always had a record deal, and I put out three records, and three record labels closed.
Man,
so it was an awful time in the music business. Right. But if I can survive that, I can survive just about anything, artistically speaking.
Right, of course. Listeners to WMOT Radio not long ago heard you do some solo songs, the Christmas theme, which is from your. You'd actually put out an album of holiday record as well. Can you, within the confines, not confines, but within the parameters of the new label and the Mavericks, still be a solo artist?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, absolutely. We've talked about that. When I've got some ideas for a solo project, and when the time is right, I'll do it. You know, it's just we're between the Mavericks touring our Spanish album, the Sweet Lizzie project, and whatever else. We're, you know, it's a lot. So
it's really a shame your career has ground to a halt the way.
Yeah.
It is. Raul Malo, thank you for what you've done for Americana Music and for this conversation today.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Americana Music News is brought to you by Sprinter Media. You can reach us at sprintermedia@comcast.net. Theme music from Norm.